This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه تسليما كثيرا أما بعد. So as it has been announced, today's lecture is a reminder about some of the common mistakes that people make in their prayer. Some of the mistakes that are being made are really, really dangerous because they have the ability to render your prayer null and void. So a person doesn't want to come Yawm al-Qiyamah with actions and deeds, and he made himself or herself tired, and they made it out of jihad, and then those deeds will be rendered and made into haba'an manthura. No one wants to do that. وَقَدِّمْنَا إِلَى مَا عَمِلُوا مِنْ عَمَلٍ فَجَعَلْنَهُ haba'an manthura. Allah will take the deeds of people and the efforts of people. May Allah protect us from being from them. And the deeds are going to be nothing but scattered particles. And we have a lot of ayat of the Quran that are like that, warning us of being of the people who make a lot of efforts. And then you won't come and you won't receive any rewards from those efforts. And there are a lot of things that will affect and impact on a person's actions, a lot. So the goal and the objective, from what I understand concerning these series, is to encourage the community about being perfectionists to the best of your ability. And that is what it is to be a Muslim. The Prophet mentioned, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allaha katab al-ihsana ala kulli shay'in fa'idha dhabahtum fa'ahsinu dhibha. وَإِذَا قَتَلْتُمْ فَأَحْسِنُوا الْقِتْلَ وَلِيَشِدَّ أَحَدُكُمْ شُفْرَتَهُ وَلِيُرِيحَ ذَبِيحَتَ. In everything that you embark upon doing, any and everything that you do, Allah has prescribed perfection. Do it in the best way possible, and don't be mediocre. So if you slaughter, slaughter well. And if you kill, kill well. Let each and every one of you sharpen your knife to perfection so as to save the animal from suffering and from pain. So in a mundane issue like how to slaughter a chicken or a bird or some kind of animal to eat, Allah Ta'ala commands perfection from us. So what about the higher issues in our existence? Like how to pray, how to understand who Allah is, how to be a husband or a wife, how to be a student. The Muslim by nature is the person when he goes into the class at the beginning of the year, he's there to compete. He's not there to survive. He's there to compete. And he says, I'm going to try to be the best person, the best student in this class. And he doesn't just, you know, give a halfway effort just to swim and just to survive and to finish at the finish line. That's not the goal and the objective. He has to try to be the best. The hijab that she wears, it can't be just a random hijab with a nominal, minimal effort put towards the hijab. She has to do her best in wearing the hijab. So this concept is a concept that permeates throughout al-Islam. Allah Ta'ala mentioned, هو الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا. Allah created life and death as a test and a trial to you people, to all of us, so that he can see who is the one from amongst us who has the best deeds, not the most deeds. The most beloved deed to Allah Azza wa Jalla is the one that is done with consistency, even if it is a little bit. But not just consistency only. Part of that equation is to do it in the right way, to do things in the right way. Anyone who does something in a way that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't bring that example and he didn't sanction it and he showed us how to do it, you run the risk of having it thrown back in your face. And that's why in the issue of salat, we have the famous hadith, Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. Pray in the exact way that you see me pray. So in today's class, we want to let you know there are a lot of issues that need to be tackled. But I want to make it clear here. I'm not going to deal with the issues of al-ikhtilaf between the scholars. The ikhtilaf that is mustasagh. It's an ikhtilaf that you can understand. I'm not going to come and give those examples that people are making mistakes in these issues and they're common mistakes because the scholars who took the other position, they had dalil. It's the ikhtilaf that you can see and you can understand. Although I sit on one side of the fence and you may sit on the other side of the fence, I'm not going to come here to encourage people to do those things. For an example, where do you put your hands when you're in Qiyam? Some people from the ulama of Islam say put it on your chest. Some say put it under your navel. I'm not going to go through that. I'm not going to say if you put it under your navel, something that I don't do, that's wrong. I'm not going to say that. I don't take that position and opinion, but it has its dalil. And it has its people who took that position. Going down to make sajda. I believe you should go down on your hands first and not go down on your knees, as the Prophet prohibited, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from going down like the camel. There's ikhtilaf between the scholars. What does that mean? I'm not going to talk about that example. I'm not going to give that example. And there are many things that are like that. The ishara in the tashahud, tahiyatu lillah. I believe that that hadith of moving your finger is a weak hadith and it shouldn't be used. But I know that there are bona fide scholars of the past and the present, contemporary scholars who said that this is what you should do because there are a hadith there. So we're not going to deal with those issues of ikhtilaf. We're going to deal with those issues that inshallah, there's no ikhtilaf in it. No ikhtilaf in it. And these are issues that we have to do our best to try to make our salat complete. I also believe, ikhwani, that salat is similar to reading the Quran in terms of the more you read the Quran, you're going to continuously find out new things are going to be revealed to you, going to be understood by us the more we read the Quran. This issue of how to pray is the same way. You have to keep studying how to pray. If you're stuck on praying the way you've been praying for the last 5, 7, 8 years, that's going to be a problem. You have to keep on studying. And that's the nature of Islam. And that's why those scholars in the past, you'll find them having multiple positions about one issue. It's not that the scholars mutalawin one day over here, one no. And Imam al-Shafi had a madhab al-qadim and a madhab that was jadid based upon new things coming to him. So that's the Muslim. He's not jammed like this pillar right here. He doesn't move. There are some issues he doesn't move on and he doesn't budge on. They are from the, you know, the pillars of Islam, the pillars of al-Iman, the arkan of al-Iman, the arkan of al-Islam, things like that. His principles, how he is with his wife, with his jealousy, how he is protecting his religion, his family. Those issues are non-negotiable. But when it comes to learning the deen, we're going to always be people who, because the knowledge of al-Islam is like that, it's living, it's not dead. So we have to continuously try to grow and try to develop, especially this issue in as-salat. Before getting into the points that I picked out, and there are many, I just want to make this very clear. 1 hour is not enough to deal with this issue. 45 minutes, this requires a series. And if my memory serves me correctly, I did a thing about some of the mistakes that people make in the prayer. There is a really good book that I would suggest you get it, PDF, it's free, it's in English, Arabic, and it's called Al-Qawl al-Mubin fi Akhta al-Musallin, the clear, concise statement as it relates to the mistakes that people make when they're praying. It was authored by one of Sheikh Al-Albani's premier students, Sheikh Mashhur Hassan. Hafidhullah ta'ala wa rahmatullahi ta'ala ala al-imam al-sheikh al-albani. You should get that book. Because in that book, you'll see the way he broke it down is pointed to what I'm about to tell you right now. And that is, 45 minutes is not enough. Why? Because there are mistakes that are common that we make before praying in the clothes that we wear. Like wearing pajamas and wearing the vest, you know, where your arms are exposed, wearing anything where both shoulders are not covered. You know, the t-shirt, the vest. They call them the wife beater. I'm only calling that for purposes of you knowing what I'm talking about. That's it. The vest. Can't pray with that. So there are many mistakes in what we wear. There are mistakes in qiyam, standing up. There are mistakes in rukur. When the Prophet used to make rukur, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to tell us to grab our knees a particular way, to put our hands a particular way. All of that requires for you to go back. Each and every one of us should be that person who, if a brand spanking new Muslim, the revert, white, black, Jew, Chinese, man, woman, they wanted to know how to pray, you should be able to take them to the side and teach them how the Prophet prayed, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When I came into Islam, I had regular people in the community. Everybody had something to say. And I prayed a prayer that I didn't like, just like I fasted a fast that I didn't like, and I'm almost apostate and left Islam in Ramadan because the people were with me. They made the religion too difficult. And this is what some people do. When you come into al-Islam and you're exposed to the Asian community, and the Asian community, they had their khair. Brahwis, the Ubundis, these first generation Muslims, Alul Hadith, all of these people came here years ago, and they had enough common sense and enough courage and enough understanding to build these institutions. I rate them for that. Unfortunately, you can go into those messages and never learn your deen. But we still have to give credit where it's due. They came to this country and had enough sense to know part of our Islam is building these institutions and buying these buildings. And they did that. This latter generation, the YouTube generation, social media generation, we're more argumentative. We have a lot more kalam. In our religion right now, the culture is fighting, and being against each other. Now, it's always been there in our ummah, but my point here is what the first generation of Muslims did when they came here, showing the importance of the Islamic identity. And one of the most important characteristics and superlative of a person being a Muslim is this issue of how to pray. So there are mistakes in Qiyam, in the Rukur, in the Sujood. What we say, what we do, what we don't say, what we don't do, where we look. Many things. There are mistakes in the Salat that we make individually. That alone needs a discussion. And there are many mistakes that we make as a Jama'at. Many mistakes. One of the reasons why we're fighting a lot right now is we're doing a lot of things that the Prophet told us not to do, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we abandoned a lot of the things that he told us to do those things to prevent us from fighting, like the prayer. He said to the people before praying, straighten up your roles. If you don't straighten up your roles, Allah will cause your hearts to be divided. It is not okay for certain things to happen in the Masjid of Alul Hadith. In the Masjid of Salafi people, there are certain things that should never happen. And one of the things that shouldn't happen is we shouldn't be mutahawinun, mutakasilun, like, you know, negligent as it relates to this prayer. Our role should be better. We should be closer. We should be more disciplined. And this is one of the things I have to say. What I like about being in a smaller masjid like Ar-Rahman Lee's, what I like being in a masjid of reverts, African-American reverts, is when it comes to issues like this, it's easy for the imam to establish the sunnah of making your roles tight, putting your feet together. It's easy. But when we come to these bigger masjids and we get all kind of people coming to the masjid, I don't know what it is. The imams, that's our responsibilities. The khutbah should be about this. We should take this opportunity out to say, everybody here, if you don't have a physical ailment preventing you from putting your feet next to your brother's feet and your shoulders, then that's what we should be doing. Basic, fundamental. And again, what hangs in the balance is when we don't do it, it leads to ikhtilaf. It adds to the ikhtilaf that already exists on the table. So we can't deal with all of these mistakes, and that's the point. There are a lot. Mistakes in istikhara, mistakes in the Salat of Al-Eid, the mistakes in Salat of Al-Jum'ah. There are a lot, but we'll just pick out a few here and there. First issue that we want to deal with, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, is at the top of the list from the mistakes of the Salat, and it's common, is people are lazy and lackadaisical. As I sit here right now, we're a lazy community when it comes to the Salat. من أراد أن يعلم ما له عند الله فلينظر ما لله عنده. If anybody wants to know what Allah has in store for him, anyone wants to know where he is with Allah, then let him determine and look where Allah is with him. The way we are with our prayer is the way we're going to be. Meaning, if you're praying consistently in the right way, your anxiety levels will be lower. Your wiswas will be level. Your sorrow, your anger, that thing and those emotional things we go through in life, not feeling well mentally and other than that. As your prayer goes, so shall you go. So as it relates to this prayer, and I mention this all the time, and I'll continue to mention it, inshallah, ma dumtu hayya. Take your finger, ya Abdullah, ya Amatullah, and put that finger on the Muslim mat, the Muslim world, the Arab world, Africa, where the Muslims are, and pick it up, and it's dripping blood. One of the main reasons why it's dripping blood, we are an ummah that doesn't pray. A lot of us don't pray. And then the ones who do pray for the ummah, we're not praying like the Prophet prayed, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So the first thing we want to mention from the common mistakes is the commonality of being lazy. Right now, there are people in our masjid who didn't pray Salat al-Fajr today on time, and they didn't do it yesterday, and they didn't do it the day before, and they didn't do it the day before that. They didn't do it throughout the month of Muharram, and not the month before that, a month before. So we'll get two in, and we'll miss three. We'll get one in, we'll miss four. We'll get four in, we'll miss one. And that's not the ummah of al-Islam. That's not what the Prophet brought, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Allah Ta'ala told the Nabi of Islam and told us by default, in the Quran, aqimu salat wa la takunu min al-mushrikeen. Establish the prayer, Abdullah, and don't be from the mushrikeen. those who don't pray. فَإِنْ تَابُوا وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةِ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةِ فَإِخْوَانُكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ. Ya Muhammad, if the people make tawbah from kufr and shirk, and they come into the religion, and after coming to the religion, they establish the prayer, and they give zakat, if anyone does that, he's your brother in the religion. So you understand, by default, if he doesn't make tawbah and come to the religion, if he doesn't make salah, give zakat, it's not our brother. So the akhuwa of al-Islam is established with this prayer. It's just too much to say about it. Prophet told his companion, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, la tatruk salatan maktubatan muta'ammida fa'innu man tarakaha muta'ammida faqad bari'at minhu al-dhimmatu. Do not intentionally leave the prayer. Don't intentionally leave the prayer. If you oversleep by accident, you forgot. Don't intentionally leave the prayer. You delayed it, but you got busy, and somehow the time caught up to you, and you missed it. But you really didn't mean that. You at work, you delayed it, you got in the car, it was a traffic jam, you couldn't pull over, and the next prayer, you didn't mean it. You say, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, atubu ilay. Allah forgive you for that. But just, I'm not going to make it. I'm not waking up for Fajr. I'm going to let it pass and come through. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, anyone who does that, he won't have the protection of Allah. He won't be protected in his life, in his deen, in his marriage. He won't be protected. So there are a number of hadith and ayat about that. The difference between us and them is the salat. Anyone who leaves it, he's a kafir. Listen to what Imam al-Dhahabi said about this issue of salat. He said, I don't know any sin that is greater after shirk and murdering someone. I don't know a sin that's greater than a man or a woman letting the prayer come in and then go out and they don't pray it. Greater than sihr. Greater than turning back from the war. So many issues. So this is the first thing that we want to mention to our community, Akhwani Limna, taqi Allah. We have to fear Allah. And you know what I always found amazing? I found amazing that we are a group of people who we know what it is to be righteous and what the companions were upon. And that's what we want to call to and that's what we want to be upon. But we know that we're nowhere near that. We're nowhere near that. But then we come and we appear in front of the people and we deal with people in our da'wah in a nasty way. In a nasty way. You yourself are not even praying Salat al-Fajr. Get yourself right. No one is telling you not to stand up for the truth. To spread the truth. No one's telling you not to do that. But we're saying, do it in a nicer way. Do it in a better way. Because here you are, some people, where there's hypocrisy in our existence. Why are you so rough and tough? And if the people got an opportunity to have a bird's eye view about what you're doing and not doing, they would say, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Take it easy. That thing that this brother or that sister is lacking in, and you may be beating them better than them in that, but they're better than you in that prayer. They're better than you in that prayer. So take it easy. So that's the first issue that we wanted to bring to your attention. The importance of praying and not being a sometime person who prays. For the person who doesn't pray, the companions, Ridwanullahi alayhim, used to say, we or the tabi'un used to say about the companions that the companions would see the abandonment of any deed. They would just see it as a major sin. You're making a mistake. But they saw abandoning prayer as kufr. It's disbelief. I'm not getting into, is he outside of Islam? It's an action of kufr. So that's a major issue that is far too common. Our children go to school and they're high school students, 14, 15, 16, they don't pray. They don't pray. They don't do Juma. And they're grown kids, university kids, and they don't pray. In our jobs, we don't pray. So as your salat goes, so will you. It will determine you, as the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The first thing that Allah is going to ask the people about Yawm al-Qiyamah will be the prayer. If the prayer is right and exact, then the rest of his deeds will be right and exact. If his prayers were wanting and lacking, then the rest of his deeds are going to be wanting and lacking. So let us, from this day, from this point on, say, I'm going to get a grip. I'm going to try to do a better job with this prayer. Because leaving it as business as usual, it's a sign of weakness in iman and weakness in understanding. And I tell you another thing. When people have weak iman and they start contemplating abandoning Islam and they start having doubts about Allah, you can rest assured 99% of the time their salat is wanting and lacking. They're not committed to their prayer. They don't find it easy to make prayer. There's that person from amongst us, when he gets in that prayer, he's in communication with Allah. He's not thinking about anything else. He's thinking about what that imam is saying and what he's doing, and he's thinking about his connection with Allah. Is he the best person? She's the best person? No. But they know this prayer is too important in the deen of Islam. The second pillar of Islam and the most important action that you can possibly do. More important than establishing the khilafah. The khilafah is to protect the prayer. More important than doing jihad. More important than salah, than siyam, than hajj, all of that. So mothers, fathers, brothers, sisters, ummatul Islam, we have to get on top of our salat. As-salat as-salat wa ma malakat aymanakum. As the Prophet said to the companions, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and those were the last words that came out of his mouth, and he mentioned it three times. Second issue, ikhwani, is the issue of a sutra. This is the masjid of Al-Hadith. Al-Imam Abu Hanifa said his madhab is the hadith, if it's authentic. How can we be people who are claiming the sunnah like that, and something as basic and fundamental as this is not being implemented or practiced or applied? The sutra. And the sutra is something that a person puts in front of himself before he prays. And even if no one is around, the Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, la yakhta'u alayhi ash-shaytan salatuhu. Let him take a sutra so shaytan doesn't cut his salat off. Shaytan respects. Shaytan pays attention. Shaytan has a barrier. When you pray with a sutra, innahu yarakum huwa wa qabiluhu min haythu la tarawnahum. Shaytan and his other shayateen, they see you from where you don't see them. So you're praying by yourself in the privacy of your own home. Shayateens can see that. You can't see them. But when you take that sutra, you've done what you're responsible for. So as it relates to the sutra and its importance, the Nabi of Islam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, never left the sutra. It is fard on the person. And if you don't do it, you're sinning. Some of the scholars said it's a sunnah mu'akkada. And some of them said it's an obligation. Why? If he was traveling, he took a sutra. If he was stationary muqeem, he took a sutra. If he was praying, sitting down, he took a sutra. If he was by himself, he took a sutra. If he left the people in salah, he took a sutra, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He would take his spear, put it in the ground, use it as a sutra. He would cause his animal to go down, his camel, use the camel as a sutra. And while he's praying towards his sutra, if the little baby sheep tried to walk in front of him, he would stop the sheep from doing that. And the sheep is not mukallif. The sheep has no aqil. He told the people, don't let anyone come between you and your sutra. And if a person tries, he's a shaitan. Stop him. And if he tries again, then use force to stop him. He's a shaitan. You're allowed to move and make al-amr bin ma'ruf and al-nahi and al-munkar while you're praying with the issue of this sutra. So he ordered the people, la yusalliyanna sallu ila sutratin. He told people, pray towards a sutra. And he prohibited them. No one should pray except that he prays towards a sutra. Now is not the time to go into the details and the ahkam of the sutra. I'm here to say, to do your prayer without the sutra, you're falling short of the mark. Umar radiallahu anhu was the Khalifa. He was busy. He was a man. He was the man. He had wives. He had children. Responsible for the khilaf and the Muslims. He would leave the masjid. On the way, he would see a man praying without a sutra. Umar would sit in front of him and face the Qibla and have his back to the man. The man would finish his prayer. Umar would say, I heard the Prophet say, Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, La yusalliyanna ahadukum illa ila sutratin. None of you should ever pray except towards a sutra. The man said, I never left the sutra after that. Why? Because the optics of the Amir al-Mu'mineen taking time out of his schedule to teach him that hadith showed him the importance and the significance of that hadith. So take the sutra in your prayer. Second issue, Ikhwani, and this is really important, is a principle that comes to us from the hadith of the Prophet. You remember this principle because it is jiddan muhim, important. The Prophet said in the hadith, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that constitutes as being a principle in our religion. An-nisa shaqa'iqur rijal. The women are the twins of the men. Women in al-Islam, in the dunya, women are the twins of men. The meaning of that hadith is everything that's applicable to men, it is equally applicable to the women. Everything. Unless a dalil comes and says, no, there's a distinction. So if the imam makes a mistake in the prayer, the men are going to say subhanallah, and they're going to correct his mistake if he made a wrong recitation. The women are going to clap because women clap and men never clap. They don't clap for the speaker. They don't clap for the man who made a mistake. They don't clap to get people's attention. That's an action of the women. When the lady leads the people in the prayer, she stands in the first row in the middle. She doesn't stand in front of the people. The salah in the masjid on the woman is not obligatory in anyone's book, but some of the scholars say that is obligatory upon the men. It is the man who is the imam leading us in prayer. But with the agenda of the ashab of the agendat, with this new agenda of people not knowing whether they're coming or going, whether they're up or down, what they are, may Allah protect this masjid from the future moves of these people. One day there may be a lady in front of us praying. We just pray that Allah never happens in this masjid. See, I mean. It's not far. Believe me, it's not far. So as it relates to this principle, listen to me, especially my sisters from the Asian persuasion, my sisters from Pakistan and Afghanistan and Bangladesh, Asians, men and women, when the Prophet got on the minbar, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, faced the Qibla, and he illustrated the prayer, and he went through the whole prayer, and then he got up there and he told the people, pray the way you just saw me praying. Not a single person who witnessed that prayer and heard what he said, not a single person, no man, no woman, no youngster, no elder, no black, no Arab, no one said that prayer he just did was just meant for the men. That prayer the way he did was just meant, and his instruction for the Ashr Mubashareen, that prayer that he just made was just for the people of Quraysh. That prayer that he just did was just for the slaves. No one said that. Everyone said what he just did and what he just said is applicable for everybody here, except where there's a dalil that shows there's a difference. So the Muslim woman has to pray exactly the way the Prophet prayed, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The way he put his hands in sajda. The way he put his feet in sajda. And what was collected by Imam Muslim, he said, Umirtu an asjuda ala sab'a a'zam. I've been commanded to pray on seven bones. He said, I've been commanded to pray on my nose. And he pointed to his forehead, making it one bone. So you have to pray on your forehead and your nose simultaneously. To be on your nose and not your forehead is wrong. To be on your forehead and your nose off the ground is wrong. And I've been told to pray on my hands, two hands, my two knees, and on the atraf al-qadameen, and on the tips of my toes. And the point is, when he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, used to make sajda, the closest that the slave is to Allah is when he's in sajda. Don't compromise that position. So he's praying on seven bones, on the tips of his toes. The companion said he used to put his heels together when he made sajda. But the madhhab tells the sister she has to come in because she's not like a man. She has to be mastura. She has to be more protected. Her body should be low on the ground. She should put her forearms on the ground. When the Prophet said, don't pray like a dog, akramakum Allah. A dog who sits with his arms on the ground. But the madhhab tells her to do that. No, listen to the point, the principle from this hadith. Men and women are equal in everything in the deen, except where there's a dalil. Men go out for jihad, fi sabilillah, to defend al-Islam and to push the religion, the real jihad of Islam, that we don't apologize for. We don't speak out of the side of our necks. We don't run away and make huruf from things that is our religion. But we're going to make it clear what jihad is and what it isn't. Do women make jihad? Naam. What's their jihad? Their jihad is hajj and umrah. They don't get on horses and they don't fight and go out to fight the non-Muslims and so forth and so on. So remember that point when it comes to the prayer, Ya Amatallah. Moving forward in your life, inshallah. Today, moving forward, bi-idhnillah, you have to read how the Prophet prayed and you do everything that he did the way that he did it, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As Allah mentioned, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. All of you have in him a perfect example. Not just the Somalis. Only the Somalis have in the Nabi a perfect example. And that ayah doesn't pertain to reverse. That ayat, the Nabi is a perfect example as a man who was 63 when he died. He's not a perfect example for the 15-year-old teenage girl. Wallah, he's a perfect example for her. For everybody. So the sister has to look at what the Nabi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, told her to do in everything of the religion and do it the exact way that men do it, unless the dalil makes it an exception. She is born, we slaughter for her one sheep. The boy is born, we slaughter for him two sheep. When she's born, we don't make the adhan in her right ear, and we don't make the adhan in her left ear. When the boy is born, we don't make the adhan in his right ear, we don't make the adhan in his left ear. We all do what the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, equally. Number three, this is important, because this is a khata that is widespread. It's a khata that I had to do when I came into al-Islam, and it just made things that much more difficult for me. And that's something that the Prophet didn't like, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He didn't like Muslims who were responsible for running people away from the religion. The husband is too rough on his wife. She's a revert. Too rough on his children. So they don't want to practice. Too rough with the neighbor, with the people they work with. Too rough. He's an individual in the masjid. Every time something goes wrong, he's too rough. He's with the family. When there's a walima, there's some free mixing, there's some evil, he's make too much of it. Deal with it without making it get bigger. Take it easy. Give dawah. Correct it, but take it easy. Now these people come into Islam and some of us drive them away. Wallahi salat was rough. The salat that I prayed after Isha, they had me standing up praying 20 extra rakat. And I used to scratch my head saying, come on, man, this can't be real. In the month of Ramadan, they had me fasting, African Americans, had me fasting all the way up until Isha. I said, well, good. This religion is difficult. The Asians got me praying 20 rakats, and these African Americans got me fasting up until Isha. Islam is tough. But Allahu Ta'ala blessed me. And I ran into people who knew what they were doing. So all of those rakat, no. This is the point. This issue of saying your niyyah before the prayer, already the revert has to read the transliteration, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, written in English. That's difficult by itself. I got to memorize all of that. And then I have to memorize Qul Huwallahu Ahad. And then I have to memorize Wal Asr. You're not going to say it right, but you do your best. Now, added on to that, I have to say, Nuwaitu an usalliya salat al-dhuhr khalf hadha al-imam al-aswad muttajihun lil-qibla fi hadha yawm al-khamis. Where's all that kalam from? I have to memorize all of that when in reality there is no niyyah that is said with your blessed tongues. Those tongues are used for the kalima of a tohi, for dhikr, for toba, for dawa, to tell your mothers, I love you, ma, I appreciate you, ma. Tell your wives, I love you, your kids, I love you, your wives say, I love you. That's what our tongues are for. Our tongues are not to make the talaffuz for my niyyah. The only time we make something similar to a niyyah, but we're not even going to call it the niyyah because it has another name, and it is the talbiyah. The talbiyah. If you're making umrah hajj, you say labbaik allahumma umrah. Oh Allah, here I am to make hajj. That's like your niyyah, but that's not your niyyah. When you went to the people you're performing hajj and umrah with, that's your niyyah. When you start paying your money, you get your visa, you do this, you do that, that's your niyyah. Just like in salat, getting up and asking, what time is it? Oh, 20 minutes. Let's go make wudu. And you get in your car. That's your niyyah. So making the niyyah with your tongue is something that has been deemed to be an innovation by the ulama of al-Islam, the ulama of the sunnah. Now you will find those people who will say this is what you should do. And we're not going to say bad about them. But we say we stick to the truth and not what people do and what people say. We stick to where the proof has taken us. So a talaffuz has been, you know, described by the scholars, al-Imam Mula Ali al-Qari. He said, this thing is an innovation. It's a bid'an, it's a muhdatha that people have, you know, introduced in the religion. That's what the scholars say. So don't do that niyyah. Stop that from today. Just get up and do your prayer. Next issue, ikhwani, and this is important, is the issue of where to look at in the prayer. When you're in rukuk, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us to look at your place of sajda. Don't look under your feet. When you're in qiyam, you should look at the place of sajda. But listen, some of the scholars said it's permissible to look in front of you at the imam, to look at the qibla. And from them, al-Imam al-Bukhari. And that's because of the hadith that he brought in his book in Sahih al-Bukhari that the companion said they pray Salat al-Dhuhr, Asr, with the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and they could see his lihya moving. So when he was reading silently, he was still reading, moving his mouth. So that hadith is two proofs. Number one, that from the mistakes that people make is when you are praying a silent prayer, you're just saying it inside of yourself. You may say, that's splitting hairs. The best guidance is in what the Prophet did, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The best guidance is what the companions saw him doing, and they did it after him. Follow what they did. It's enough for you. Don't be a Johnny come lately, and you start coming up with your own understanding and your own ijtihad. So it proves he read to himself, and sometimes they can hear him reading. And he used to make it so that they can hear in the first few rows so they can know you read Fatiha and another surah. That hadith is also a proof of what Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, the permissibility of looking at the Qibla, of looking at your imam. And that's an opinion. But the majority of the scholars say you should look down because that will help you to have khashiyah more. Khashur. Alladhina hum ala salatihim khashi'un. Allah described the believers as those people who, when it comes to prayer, they have khawf and khashya. They're just not making salat like that. They're thinking about what they're doing, even if Arabic is not their language. They think about the importance and the significance of every movement, that while he's bowing down, His sins have fallen off of his shoulder. He's not rushing to get up. He's taking his time. When he's in sajda, his sins have fallen off of his shoulder. And he knows, أَقْرَبْ مَا يَكُونُ الْعَبْدِ لَرَبِّهِ وَهُوَ سَاجِدَ فَأَكْثِرُ فِيهِ مِنَ الدُّعَاءِ. The closest that a man or a woman, a person is to their Lord, who is over the seven thrones, over the seven heavens, in a way that befits his majesty. Far, far away. But the closest that the slave is to him, with that real distance, Allah is over the throne, in a way that befits his majesty. The closest you can be to him is when you put your head on that ground. In humility. In humility. This prayer is not a joke. I encourage you, brothers, take your kids, let them know Taekwondo, let them learn that, mixed martial arts, all of that. Let your children grow up to be dangerous when it comes to if they have to fight somebody. But when we go and we learn from these people, from the Orient, experts in these sciences, we don't make sajda to them as they expect you to do. We don't make ruku to them because these movements are the movements of the prayer that identify us. And we can't compromise them bowing down. My African brothers from Nigeria, when we want to respect people, we bow down. Not in our religion. So as an older person, I shouldn't expect that. The Qiyam, those companions, Ridwanullah alayhim, as Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, Abdullah ibn Abbas said, we used to not stand up for the Prophet because we knew he hated it. Qiyam is one of the positions of prayer. We wouldn't stand up for him because he didn't want us standing up glorifying him like that. He wanted us to respect him by following his way. So people would stand up for the rich man. He would stand up for the popular man. He would stand up for the one who has juice. But when the little miskin man comes, we won't stand up for him. So is social hypocrisy. Prophet Muhammad didn't want that. He didn't want us as Muslims to think that strength and honor is in your clothes, your car, jewelry. It's not in that stuff. It's in having taqwa. It's being true to your word. It's having courage. It's those things. Clothes are important, no doubt. A nice car is cool, no problem. A nice house is cool. Get you right mentally that you got a nice house. That's from the ni'mah of Allah. Three things are from happiness. Having a good wife, Allah bless our wives and increase them in khair. And make islah for the ones who are not doing right. And bless the brothers and increase them in khair. And make them right, those who are not doing the right thing. Having a good wife, having a good car that's reliable, and having a spacious house. Nothing wrong with that. That will help the quality of your life to be better. But the strength is not in that. Strength is not in muscles. Strength is not in muscles. It has some effect, some importance, but the real sharaf, the Prophet said, and the real izzah, he said, it's praying at night. He said, and the real izzah is a Muslim having istighna. He doesn't ask other people. He doesn't need people. He's not taking welfare. He's not borrowing money, not even from Muslims. He doesn't ask people to do things for him. Stand on his own two feet to the best of his ability. So as it relates to where you look at Khwani, the Maliki Madhab, they're of the opinion that you should look at the Qibla. And they have a dalil for that. But the strongest opinion in Allah is A'la and A'lam is that you should look at the place of your sajda. It helps to create and to develop in you, like everything else in prayer, discipline. Discipline. We don't look all around. The Prophet mentioned, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَمَا يَخْشَعُ الَّذِي يَرْفَعُ رَأْسَهُ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ أَنْ يُحَوِّلُ اللَّهُ رَأْسَهُ رَأْسِ حِمَارٍ. One of you who's praying and you're looking around and you're looking at up in the sky, are you not afraid that Allah may change your face, your head, into the head of a donkey, or your picture and your image into an image of your donkey? وَلَيْسَ ذَلِكَ بِعَزِيزٍ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Allah changed some of Bani Israel into pigs and monkeys. Another issue about looking and having discipline, this is important, is what the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Someone some time ago came in this masjid and tried to break into the sadaqa box. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What's on the mind of those people like that? They hang out and hide in the bathroom, the toilet, and then when everybody goes, they're on CCTV breaking into masjids. Who does that? Crackheads? Even crackheads should have some level of, hey, that's a masjid. But this is what we're dealing with. This is the time that we're dealing with. And it's going to get worse and worse and worse until Yawmul Qiyamah. Don't trust people with your secrets. Don't look at everybody like he's your friend. We're living in the time this problem. The Prophet said, for you to steal from 10 houses is better for you than to steal from the house of your neighbor. That doesn't mean it's okay to steal from 10 houses. It's just that the hurma of your neighbor, Muslim or non-Muslim, serious, can be bad to your neighbor. What about the house of Allah Azza wa Jal? So here in this issue, Ikhwani, concerning where we look at, the Prophet mentioned about the thief. He said, أَسْرَقُ الرَّجُلُ الَّذِي يَسْرَقُ مِنْ صَلَاتِهِ لا يقيم ركوعها ولا سجودها. The biggest thief from my ummah is not the one who is a mechanic and he's stealing people's money by overcharging you, breaking things that are not broken so that he could fix it. He's supposed to fix things and he doesn't fix it. No, he said the biggest thief of my ummah is the man who steals from his prayer. The woman who steals from her prayer. They are the biggest thief. They don't make ruku' properly and they don't make sujood properly. So one of the biggest mistakes is to be a person who is mustajil. We're not even allowed to be in haste outside the prayer. One of the big mistakes. He said, إذا أتيتم من الصلاة فعليكم بالسكينة والوقار ما أدركتموه فصلوا وما فاتكم فتموه. If you people come for prayer and you come to the masjid, be calm and gentle and don't run. Don't run. Take your time. Whatever you got with the imam, if you missed anything, get up and complete it. You get it anyway because you have a niyyah. Whatever missed you, get up and finish. If it didn't miss you, then no problem. So a big mistake, run into the prayer. And then when you get to the prayer, you're in rukuk. And you're doing like this. And that's not the goal and the objective of the prayer. The prayer is for everybody to be calm. And that's why you don't pray when you have gas. You don't pray when you have to urinate. You don't pray when you have to go to the toilet, akramakumullah. Because our focus has to be on the prayer. So in the prayer, have discipline. Have your back straight. Stand up straight, make your sajda, and take your time while you're in those positions. And it's up to you. If you want to do it three times, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, and then get, that's you. If you want to do it 5, 7, 9, 11, you want to say other things, that's up to you. Do this sometimes, do that sometimes, but don't be like the one who prays like the chicken. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to give this thing about the tashbih between human beings and animals. Don't be like the camel. Don't be like the cow who the way he does his tongue. So you try to be so articulate and you speak above the intellects of the people. Don't be like that. Don't be like the dog that vomited and then he licked up his vomit by giving a gift and then taking that gift back. He used to say these types of things. And in the prayer, he would say, don't be like the wolf. Don't be like the dog. Don't be like the chicken. The chicken who's just doing like that. Bop, 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 bop. And he's just eating like that. And that's how you pray. Jump out of the bed for Fajr. And you just get it in. 1, 2. And you get back in the bed. You say, I pray. The Prophet told that man, go back and pray. For verily, you didn't pray. And he told him 3 times. After the man prayed 3 times, but he wasn't praying with discipline and he was going fast. He said, go back and pray. You didn't pray. Go back and pray 3 times. That can be said to us. Next one, Ikhwani, and the time is flying, is the issue of racing the imam. Wallahi, in the African-American revert masjid, I don't say they're better than you, but it's just a bit more easier to deal with reverts because when they know something, they try to practice it. The cultural Islam. Now, the reverts have other issues that people born and raised in Islam are better than them in these issues. So you got to understand what I'm saying. I'm not putting anyone down. These big masjids, we got to get a grip. Our imams have to get a grip. The admin has to get a grip. Our masjid, when someone comes into our masjid, they should smell the sunnah. Just like al-iman. ثَلَاثَ مَنْ وَجَدَهُنَّ وَجَدَ حَلَاوَةِ الْإِيمَانِ. There are three things. If a person finds these three things, he will find the taste of the sweetness of iman. Iman has a sweetness to it. And certain things are repugnant. Racism is repugnant. When the companions were about to fight each other, one man said, "Oh, Ansar," and the other man said, "Oh, Muhajirin." The Prophet said, "Ad-da'watul jahiliyyah wa ana baina adharikum. Utrukuha, du'uha, fa'innaha muntina." Do you people make the call of the time of jahiliyyah and I'm right here with you? Leave it, abandon it, because it stinks. Racism stinks. Kufr stinks. Innovation stinks. Being a chump and a punk stinks. It's repugnant. A man being scared of fear itself. He has nothing to fear except fear itself. And he's scared. He's scared to be who he is. So in a masjid like this, the imam has to be able to say to the people, "Hey guys, straighten up that line. Everybody in the line, you're supposed to make it your responsibility. That's everybody's job here. Everybody. In al-Islam, when we pray, in this masjid, we should be praying feet to feet, shoulder to shoulder. And it's not a joke. It's important. And we should not race the imam. Listen to what the companion said. Al-Bara ibn Azib, may Allah be pleased with him. Listen. He said, "We used to pray with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he would lead us in salat. And we, the companions, we would not move until he took his position." What we do in our masjid is we don't have discipline with prayer. And I don't know when is the time going to come. Yawm al-Qiyamah is going to be established. The Quran will be raised out of the earth in one night. We have to do our level best to prevent it from happening during our watch. You are a guard and you're working at the Islamic bank that doesn't have any riba. The real Islamic bank. The real one. I don't know where it's at, but the real one, if you can imagine. You're the security guard and you got your hammer, you got your gat. When you go to work because of the Islamic bank, you have the thing in your mind, nobody's gonna rob this bank while I'm on job, while I'm working. Because if they tried to rob this bank, I'ma send them out here with some lead. Because it's the Islamic bank, and I'm gonna take care of the amana, and this is how my job is. That's how we have to be. Because Islam is fading away. Fading away. So as I look at all you people in the audience, it's your job, and your job, and your job. It's your job, Akhi, it's your job. It's your job, Sheikh. It's everybody's job. That when we pray, everybody look down the line and put your feet together. What is it? What is it? What is it? I think it's a combination of a lot of things. Al-Bara ibn Azib said, the companions, we wouldn't move until he got into rukur. Then we got into rukur. When he got up, Sami Allah liman hamida. That's when we got up. We didn't hear him say Allah, and then we started moving. That's what we do. That's what we do. So the Prophet used to tell the people before praying, "La tasbiquni," don't race me. Don't beat me to the positions. This is one of the mistakes that can render your prayer null and void. There's so many mistakes. One, I will forget it, so I have to bring it right now. When we make the salams is important. It is what closes the prayer. The Prophet said, "At-tahara is the miftah of the prayer. Allahu Akbar makes it haram, tahreem. You can't say and do anything now. And when you say salamu alaykum at tasleem, it closes off the prayer. It's an important, all of these positions are important. He used to say, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and he would extend his face like that. And then he would go back, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. That's all you have to do. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. It was easy for you. But some of us, you'll find a person go, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, assalam. I'm telling you. And then there's the guy falling off the cliff, salam. He goes to the left, assalamu alaikum, like that. No, brother, take it easy. That's a takalluf. Nuhina an takalluf. We've been prohibited from doing these extraordinary actions. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. So let's keep moving, inshallah. How many minutes has it been so far since we started? How long? How many minutes, though? An hour? Wow, okay, I'm going to finish here. I didn't want to do an hour. Last thing we want to mention, Ikhwani, and this is vital, is for the Salat of al-Jum'ah. The Jum'ah prayer is really important. If you have a job where you cannot perform the Jum'ah prayer, that job is haram. I'm not going to tell you to quit your job today. But you have to have some courage, man. You have to step to those people and tell them, I'll come in an hour early every day. I won't take my lunch. I'll leave an hour late every day. But I have to go to Jum'ah. Whoever misses three Jum'ahs in a row, his heart will be sealed and he'll become from the Ghafilin. Haram to have a job you can't go to Jum'ah. I'm not telling you to quit your job. Just as I'm not telling some of our young brothers who make Toba today or they get guided today and they're in their third or fourth year in the university and now they want to leave the university because of ikhtilat, free mixing, because the professor's a lady and he has to lower his grades. وَقُولَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُدُّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. He said, I got to lower my grades. So he wants, I never told you that. I'm not telling you people to do that. The man, his father had a house on Reba. His father had a house on Reba. His father been paying Reba all his years, and his father died. And now he has two more years to pay that Reba. Two more years. I'm not telling you to sell that house. I'm not telling you that. I'm telling you in issues like this, you get with someone who knows the religion, and you talk to him about what's going on. And don't make decisions for yourself. I am majbur. I have to do it. Don't make that decision by yourself. And I'm going to stop going to school. Don't make those decisions by yourself. So concerning this issue of Jum'ah, in the Jum'ah, there are so many issues, like coming to the masjid and getting in where you fit in and not standing on the back and standing on and sitting on the walls. But whoever makes a ghusl, causes his wife to make a ghusl, wears nice clothes, put perfume on, come to the masjid walking, comes in and gets close to the imam without breaking corners, and he's quiet for every right step, a hasana, every left step, a sayyate. That's a lot of rewards. But we come and we do most of that and we sit in the back. So anyway, concerning the Jum'ah, the one thing that I want to mention about the Jum'ah is looking at our telephones, doing the Jum'ah prayer is not acceptable for our youngsters who are in the masjid during the summer. And we ask Allah Ta'ala to make this a productive summer and a good summer, a summer that's productive in the deen and productive in our dunya as well, that we can enjoy ourselves and our families in this summer, get married, go to walimas in the summer, and develop ourselves and memorize aspects of the Quran, and go to the residentials and go camping together in this summer. We don't want the summer to be a summer of catastrophes, like masaib. People get stabbed, people get shot, people OD, get hit by a car, hit someone in a car. May Allah protect us from all of that. Say ameen. As it relates to this thing in the Jum'ah, we have to not read our phones while that imam is on that minbar. In Green Lane, we do that. You know, I know some people don't want to come to the masjid Green Lane because the way we are lackadaisical in our prayer. Some people say this is a Ikhwani masjid. I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that at all. But it is a masjid that doesn't live up to the izzah of Ahlul Hadith. And I'm not talking about Ahlul Hadith, Birmingham United, Manchester United. I like Liverpool. I'm Liverpool. You're Manchester United. He's Manchester. He's Arsenal. And he's Ahlul Hadith. Football game. Not a football game. It's taking this religion with its purity and feeling a sense of honor and barakah that Allah has guided us to be understanding that it's the sunnah and the way of Ahlul Hadith. That is the correct way. As those imams used to say, Al-Imam Ahmed, Al-Imam Al-Madini, Al-Imam Abdullah Al-Mubarak, those imams Yahya Al-Madini, Yahya Ibn Ma'in, and that hadith, they will not cease to be a group of people who will be on my, from my ummah, they'll be successful. The safe sect. They said, if it's not Ahlul Hadith, I don't know who they are. They wasn't talking about people from Pakistan. They were talking about people who were from Khorasan, from Baghdad, from Egypt, from wherever you're from, because you're holding on to the hadith of the Prophet, making the ta'zim of the tawheed of Allah, and being against the opposite of that, being proud and honored to call to the sunnah and to warn against the opposite of that. And part of the sunnah is take it easy with the people. Take it easy and be gentle and want good for the people. The people are thirsty. Help the people to drink the water, man. Don't run the people away. This is what we wanted to mention, inshallah. We'll take two questions, and that's it. Three questions. One from an elder, another question from a medium, and one question from a shabab, inshallah. If the sisters have any questions, they could throw them over the window right there by the minbar. Halinda Kumshe, anybody have a question about today's dars? Yusuf. During the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as it relates to straighten up the lines, he would send Bilal ibn Rabah down one line and Umar ibn al-Khattab down the other line. And they would go up and down the line and say, Ya Fulan, yo, move up, you move back. Bilal, the ex-slave, would grab people from Quraysh and pull them like this and push them like that. And no one said, get your hand off me. You know who said that? He didn't say that. No one said to him, get your, because that was the Sayyid of the Muslims, radiallahu anhu. He went through a lot for la ilaha illallah. And then these people are going to come and curse those companions. I'm going to tell you something, Ikhwani, and I have to mention this. I have to mention this about being kind and being soft and gentle. I believe if there's a revert brother who curses the companions, or an ignorant person from your relatives, from your country, who curses the companions, they're ignorant, I believe we should give them nice dawah and be gentle and easy. The revert doesn't know. Take it easy. I almost was a Shiite one time because I thought they were militant. So I almost got caught up in that. Be gentle and easy with all of them. But if a person persists on being a person who curses Abu Bakr and Umar and Aisha, the rest of those awliya from the ulama of the companions with the one light, we're going to say to them, Lakum dinukum waliyadin. I'm not playing with you. I'm not smiling and grinning at you. I'm not doing any talks with you. You're not coming to my masjid to do any talks. In a very, very slim issue, I may cooperate. You know, there's certain things going on right now. We may have to cooperate with non-Muslims to push this stuff back. Okay, I'm going to cooperate with non-Muslims in that. But you curse the companions, because the situation to that is similar to my mother, I believe. My mother, Miss Mamie Starr, may Allah guide her to Islam and the Sunnah. If someone were to say something about my mother that these people say about Aisha, it would be inappropriate for me to say I'll crack his head open right now. So I'm not going to say that I would crack his head open. I'm not going to say that because it's inappropriate. But if someone said a fraction of what those people say about Aisha, about one of our mothers, the fitra, if it's not contaminated and corrupted, is everybody wants to deal with the person by cracking his head open for saying that about your mom, Dukes. Aisha is the mother of the believers. The mother of the believers. So be gentle, like in everything else. But if people persist, there are certain innovations and problems. Gentleness is not the way. Gentleness is not the way. And that's why we have those hudud. So in relationship to the sufuf, those two companions will go down the line and straighten out the lines, which gives an indication of how important it is. If you're sitting in the chair, where should the chair be? The chair, either this way or that way, is no big deal. No big deal. What is making your heart comfortable? So when the people in the tahiyatul lahi wa salawatu wa tayyibat, if you're equal with them, does that make you feel better? Then do that. Do that. Because you're equal with the Muslims at the end. But when you're standing in the chair, you're in front of them. Do what's easy for you. Try to be easy in these issues. Any more questions, Ikhwani? My brother. Where are you from, my man? The Philistini, tafaddal ya akhi. Sallallahu ya'inukum. May Allah help the people of Palestine. Because at this moment right now, where we're sitting and we're chilling and we're relaxing, they are beating them people up and they're shooting them people. Put your finger on the Muslim world on the map and you pick it up and it's bleeding. Palestine is indicative of that. Can't forget our brothers of Palestine. May Allah ta'ala bless the people of Palestine with the sunnah. Bring the Mahdi, inshallah ta'ala, forth Isa ibn Maryam to deal with this folder. And may Allah ta'ala make us of those Ansar who are going to also be part of that process. Go ahead, ya akhi Zaim al-Filistiniyin. Yes, yes, yes. Good question. So listen, get this, because we're getting ready to pray next. And everyone has to pay attention to the prayer and the imam. That's why the prophet said, "Inna fi salat la shughla." Prayer is a lot to think about. You have to listen to the imam, those ayat, what rak'ah is he on. You have to concentrate. So the last thing we need is the mistake of the person who comes and he's wearing clothes when he makes ruku or sajda, you can see his backside. Already prayer has us busy, man. We're busy. And now I have to pray behind someone who has a shirt saying Heineken. Come on, man. Or some madness, some other madness. Like the hip-hop culture and what our Shabab do. I have to be behind a person praying who his hairstyle is not Islamic. So it is distracting me. His hairstyle is distracting me. Because I'm wondering, how does his dad let him do that? Oh, I know how. His dad is like me. My son wants to wear his hair like that. So if I give him a hard time, my son is going to run away. So that kid is like my son, and I'm like his dad. And I'm going through that during the prayer. I wonder who his dad is. I have to find his dad. I wonder if he knows my son, because their hairstyle is the same. And I'm supposed to be praying, man. So this brother made an important point, and we're done here. Listen, when the prayer comes, the next prayer, pay attention to your prayer. But kind of, pay attention to the guy next to you. To your right and your left. If he's anticipating and racing with the imam, after the prayer, do like that to him. Not real hard. Friendly and brotherly. To let him know, you were lunching, man. You were lunching. I wasn't lunching. I don't want you to lose your prayer. Pay attention to your prayer. This brother said, what should we do? Al-Bara ibn Azib said, we would not move until the prophet took his position and then we moved. And that's why he said before the prayer, let those who are knowledgeable and older stand behind me. The first row is not for every Amr, Bakr, and Zayd. It's for the people who, if the imam lost his wudu, they know what to do. They are the umana. They're the ones who can see the imam. So the people in the second row move according to them, not according to the takbir. The sisters, what should they do? They definitely shouldn't listen to the takbir. The prophet in the beginning of Islam, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in the beginning of prayer, they were very poor. He told the women, you women, give the men time to make sajda. Don't make sajda right away. I mean, give the men time to come up from sajda. Women don't come up from sajda right away. Why did he tell them that? Because they were poor. The man with his outer be exposed. So the prophet didn't want the women to get the nadhara and mufaj'a. Do you know that first look? He didn't want them to do that. So he told the women, delay. So the women should already be on the delay button already because they can't see the jama'at. So when the imam says, Allahu Akbar, the women should wait a second and then go down. And don't start moving on Allah. This is wrong. And our ummah collectively are dropping the ball in this. Any masjid you go to, with the exception of masjids like connected to SP, the ghulat, who go overboard and ajarh with tajrih. But in things like that, and things like the hijab of the woman, they surpass most of us. They surpass most of masajid. But there are other things that other masajid are doing where they surpass them, like being kind and gentle to people you don't know, and not mean mugging people when you see them because you don't know. And the usul with some of the people is, you're not Salafi till you prove to me, and that's not right. So the point is, there's a responsibility of the Muslims, our masjid. So we're going to stop here, inshallah, from this point on. Talk to the imams here. Talk to yourselves. When you get in the line, you yourself start taking the advantage to say to people, hey, straighten up, straighten up. There's a brother from our community whose son died some time ago, and the janazah was done, and I heard he fell off of a high place, and some animals ate the boy. May Allah Ta'ala have mercy upon him, inshallah, put him into Jannah al-Firdaus. The father of that boy every Friday sends a WhatsApp saying, the time of Maghrib is almost done. Did you read Surah Al-Kahf? Been doing that for 2 or 3 years. If he doesn't do anything else other than that, he doesn't do anything other than that. If he's raised up Yawm Al-Qiyamah as giving dawah to educating and encouraging people to do that, Allah knows what his reward is. What about the one who stands in the line and he's not embarrassed in a nice way to say to people next to him, hey, move back, move up. Hey, straighten up the line. So this is all of our responsibility. And don't just leave it to the imams here. And don't just leave it to the admin here. We're not second-class citizens. And we're not people who are on the perimeter watching life go by. Something happens here. You don't like something. You address it to the imam. You address it to the admin. Don't be of those people who just sit and, you know, we're just talking about. Sometimes it's ghibah and other than that. No. Try to make the change. May Allah Ta'ala bless our community, bless the sunnah, bless our community here at Green Lane and these other Ahlul Hadith masjids throughout this country. There are a lot of masjids up in the north. If these people will get themselves together, Ahlul Hadith will be a force to be reckoned with in this country. But we have to get some vision. We have to get away from this cultural Islam. Keep your culture, that's beautiful, but we want Islam. We want Islam. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wa afwan ala al-itala. Atalna alaykum. Afwan. Samihuni, samihuni.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله